A mysterious digital bank heist takes a surprising turn. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. North Korea may be behind the hack that sucked $81 million from Bangladesh's central bank in February. Security researchers are linking the digital bank heist to the attack on Sony Pictures, widely blamed on North Korea. The BBC's Philip Hampshire joins us with more. Hello, Philip.
Hello there.
So if North Korea is connected to this, how big a deal would that be?
As many as 18 different Asian banks across the entire region have, if not been directly targeted, at least have the particular type of malware that was used in the Bangladesh attack. North Korea, as we know, has a lot of difficulties with regards to its economy, with regards to its cash flow at the moment. And so some are indicating that this might, in fact, be a way that the North Korean state has been looking around to bring some extra cash into the economy.
Now, these recent breaches, they're bringing attention to SWIFT, which is the system where banks can share payment information. How much of a concern overall is the security of SWIFT?
There is a great deal of rising concern with regards to the security of SWIFT, but also with regards to the security of banks and facilities around the world. What this seems to be indicating is that hackers who might previously have looked at some of the wealthier banks around the world have learned that their security systems are now so good and so tight that it's a lot easier to go to other nations like South Africa or Bangladesh or South Korea and perhaps attack their facilities where they know that there is money that is being held in the main financial institutions, but the security might not necessarily be so high.
Okay, the BBC's Philip Hampshire, thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading. Shares in Europe have been up and down. In the UK right now, up almost a 10%. In Germany, up just a little less than that, but close to a 10%. Asian markets end it mostly up, though not all. Tens of millions of Americans will take to the road and sky this Memorial Day weekend. Forecasters expect one of the most hectic travel weekends in years. Marketplace's Rima Krace looks at what's driving it.
Early this morning, 26-year-old Turner Batten and his lab, Chipper, hit the road for North Carolina. Batten is making the drive from Florida to spend time with his family.
Relax, visit friends, play golf.
He hasn't been home for Memorial Day in 4 years. Batten says if gas prices were even a bit higher, he'd probably pass on the trip.
I probably would either fly or just not go.
Patrick DeHaan is an analyst with GasBuddy.com.
With the cheapest gas prices that we've seen in some 10 years, during the summer months that is, I think a lot of motorists have had some pent-up demand.
And possibly some extra cash. Americans have already saved more than $15 billion this year on gas. That's according to AAA. Jonathan Grella is with the U.S. Travel Association. He says travelers are expected to spend about $12 billion over the holiday weekend, up slightly from last year.
But a hiccup in any way can obviously have a shockwave throughout the system.
Hiccups like bad weather, security concerns, or crazy long lines at the airport. I'm Rima Krace for Marketplace.
Hi, David Brancaccio here. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We give you the context we think you need to understand what's happening in the economy and why it matters to you. Some context on us, we are a nonprofit service and rely on donations from our listeners to keep going. And we've just made special Let's Do the Numbers Pilsner glasses available to thank you for your support. Donate today at marketplace.org.
Companies are panicking about how to manage millennials, which has led to a boom in pricey generational consulting. A detail in a Wall Street Journal article about this caught our eye the other day. It's about Morley Winograd and Mike Hayes. Together, they've written books about millennials and offer consulting services to companies. The thing is, they're both in their 70s, much older than the typical generational consultant. Morley Winograd joins us now to explain. Hello, Morley.
Good morning, Mark.
Now, you know that some of your competitors in generational consulting are younger than you guys, and they may make the case that that gives them better insight into the millennial generation. What do you say to that argument?
The first time Mike and I appeared on public media, Judy Woodruff was interviewing us about our first book, and her first question was, "You sure don't look like a millennial." Our answer on that day hasn't changed from almost a decade ago, and that is, it is our purpose not to be a millennial explaining millennials, but explaining millennials to older generations in order to improve intergenerational understanding in America and avoid the kind of conflicts that have often arisen at this particular moment of generational cycles.
Now, I know the concern about the millennial generation and the desire by companies to understand is got to be good for business. But do you ever get tired of all the hype about millennials?
Millennials are America's next great generation. They will be as important in our history as the Republican generation currently being celebrated on Broadway in the musical Hamilton. They will be as important as the GI generation, often called America's greatest generation. So we don't think the hype about millennials is overstated.
What do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions about millennials that older managers have, either from Gen X or higher up from the baby boom generation?
What we try and get people to understand is, first of all, they should never approach anyone in their workplace as a member of a group and stereotype them. There's a lot of commentary about millennials supposedly being either lazy or entitled, none of which is true in terms of documented survey research, but nevertheless could be true of an individual. And we caution people not to let their predisposed notions of how a member of a generation is supposed to behave. Instead, we counsel people to learn how to set aside their generational biases, recognize that people are different, that doesn't mean they're either good or bad, and that everybody brings their own set of personality traits and behaviors to the workplace. The best managers are those who can bring out the best in each individual.
Morley Winograd is a generational consultant. Morley, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.